Okay, so here we are in chapter 5, Mishnah Yud Gimel. In the Sefer Me'ashir Loyach, we were talking for the last few weeks how each of the 12 tribes has one of the curses, the Deuteronomy curses associated with it. So, in the Me'ashir Loyach, is the only commentator who tries to match up every tribe with an appropriate curse. And the way the curse is structured, from the negative you can learn something about the positive, and they're all metaphorical in the sense that nobody was suggesting that any particular tribe, you know, was prone to sleeping with animals, but then it was a metaphor of making do with less than a human being should make do with, and so on. So here we are. It is written, Oru mate mishpat ger yosem v'amona. Cursed is he who bends the judgment of the stranger, the orphan, or the widow. Bending meaning not to give the right, not to give them justice, but to sort of bias against them, or, for that matter, bias towards them. So the Ishbitzer says, Hu neged binyamin. This corresponds to the tribe of Binyamin. V'nira li, so I say, Biurai, the meaning is, Shishoresh nishmas Binyamin, the source of the soul of Binyamin, Bolo mebchina zu, comes from this aspect of the divine, Shetomid mishtoikik lehetiv lebnei Yisrael. The tribe of Binyamin, their desire is to do things for other Jews, to bring good things to other Jews, to benefit the nation as a whole and individuals. So the tribe of Binyamin, part of their genius is their ability to absorb and assimilate all the beautiful things that exist in the world. To take out from those things what is precious and to leave what is dross, and to raise them to the source in holiness, as we read in the Torah. Yaakov says, Binyamin zev yitroif. Benjamin is a wolf that tears. The thing about the wolf is that he captures a prey and then he drags it back to his lair. So this is like Binyamin, who goes out into the world, sees something beautiful, captures it, and then drags it back and distributes it among the Jewish people. And even those desires that are in exile among the nations of the world, the tribe of Binyamin has the power to gather them, to receive them, and to bring them back, to bring them into the Jewish people, as we learn in the Me'er Shiloyach. The Gemara says, "Binyamin atzadikoy mitzta'a alei leboya lo lefikach nasa ushpizichne leshchina." You know that the temple in Jerusalem is partly in the tribe, in the territory of the tribe of Yehuda, and partly in the territory of the tribe of Binyamin. So the tribe of Benjamin, so they're so close together, the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, that in fact the temple where it's situated is partly here and partly there. And in fact, what the Gemara says is that Binyamin, he had such a desire to be the host, Ushpizichna. He wanted to be the host for the Shechina, that even though the way the territory was aligned, most of the Mizbeach, the altar, should have been in the tribe of Yehuda, but there was like a little tongue of territory, that sort of a little peninsula of territory that went out from the tribe of Benjamin into the tribe of Binyamin, and it was on that the altar was built, and most of the altar is in fact in the tribe of Binyamin. So what was it that brought that about? So the Gemara says, Binyamin atzadikoy mitzda'er, Benjamin was in pain. Leboela, he wanted to swallow, he wanted to encompass. Lefikach nasash bezichna leshchina, and that's why he becomes the host. Lefisha Hashem is boruch hikiboy, because God knows, knew that if the Beis HaMikdash will be built in the portion of Binyamin, also want that the altar should be in his portion. It's the desire, you see. Binyamin has the desire to be available to God and the desire to be available to his brothers. Because he always wants to, he wants to be host to God, and he wants to be host to his brothers. Because who are the brothers? Who are we? We are the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. So he has so much desire to do for us that sometimes he gives us more than we could chew. So therefore the Torah says, cursed is he who bends the judgment for the stranger, the orphan, and the widow. So I brought here Zohar, this is note 34. The Zohar says, this is a secret that we found in the book of Rav Hamnuna Saba. And he says that this verse applies to the Jewish people as a whole. That if a person takes another wife, then he's not allowed to reduce the amount of money and clothing and affection that he gives his first wife. And if he does withhold, it says, she goes out, she's allowed to leave without having to pay for her freedom. God says to the Jewish people, where is this divorce that I supposedly divorced your mother with? It says you were sold for nothing and you will not be redeemed with money. And whoever withholds Torah from the Jewish people, it's like the Torah says, withholding affection, withholding food and clothing. Because if somebody is married to a woman and withholds from her and withholds affection or whatever, then she's like a divorcee without having the benefits of a divorce. And that's why the Torah says in Echo, in the Book of Lamentations, it says Hoisuk Almono, that Yerushalayim is, and the Jewish people are like a widow, because, or like a, you know, they're not a widow, because God never divorced us, God never died on us, God never, you know, but yet, so this idea that the Jewish people can be compared to a widow, or to a yosem, or to a stranger, or to an orphan, these ideas are found in the Rishonim. So what I want to say is that when Binyamin is told, cursed is he who bends the judgment of the stranger, the orphan, and the widow, that it's talking about us, the Jewish people, because of Binyamin's genius, that it could come to be oppressive to us. The Mishnah says, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Himlich Oy Samach, God enthroned the letter Samach, B'sheno, over sleep. V'kosha Loy Keser, and tied it a crown, V'tzorfon Zeh B'zeh, and combined them one with another, V'tzorbehen Keshes B'Oilam, and fashioned Sagittarius in the year, in the universe, the Kislev, in the month of Kislev, in the year, the Keva, and the Mor, that's part of the stomach, in the Nefesh of Zohar Nekeva. Sheino, note 35, Venera Li, it seems to me, Shubichinas Reb Nechunya ben Hakono, there was a sage among the sages who were martyred by the Romans. His name was Reb Nechunya ben Hakono, Rosh HaTzadikim HaYoridim LeMarkova. He was among the head of the saints who went down into the Merkava, Kedeisa b'kama duchta b'perkei acholos, as we learn in many places in the chapters of the Heichalot literature. V'zeloshen, and this is how it says it there. Ubo Reb Shimon ben Gamliel v'Reb Eliezer ha'godol v'Reb Elozer ben Domo v'Reb Eliezer ben Shamuel v'Reb Yochanan ben Dahavai v'Chanino ben Chachinoi v'Yonison ben Uzziah v'Reb Akiva v'Reb Yehuda ben Bovo. So it names all these sages who were among the 10 martyrs, and it says we all came together. Bonav Yishavnu Lefonav, we came and we sat down in front of Rim Nechuni ben Akona. Kol Amoin Chaverim Oimdim Aragleim, and around us with thousands of students and colleagues, as in ancient times in the yeshiva, only those who were at a level of knowing as much as the master, they were allowed to sit. Everybody else had to stand on their feet while the master was teaching. So these, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and so on, they were sitting in front of the Rebbe, while everybody else, a huge multitude, was standing around. Kihoy royim kubyos shel esh v'lapida or shemafsikim beineum beineinu, because the reason that they didn't approach is because they could see this flashes of fire and lightning and so on that was separating them from us. Ubeineinu, and among us, Reb Nechuni ben Akona Yoishev, he was sitting. Umesada lefneim is called Divrei Makovo Yirid of Aliyah, and he explained to them, to Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and so on, to the Chaverim, what they would need to do in order to go down into the Merkava. Heich Yored, Mishi Yored, how those who are going to go down will go down. Heich Yal, Mishi Yal, and those who are going up, how they will come up. And the reason that, just as a sort of aside, in the Heichalot literature, we find it talks about Yored Lemerkava. You know, mostly when we talk about the Sefirot, we talk about going up. We're in Malchus, and Keser is above us, and moving through the Sefirot, we move upwards through Netzach and Hoyt, Chesed and Gevurah, and higher to Keser Chochmah Bina, because we see them in the terms of our body, and we start with our feet, which is Malchus, and we move up to the crown, which is Keter. In the Merkava, we don't talk like that. Most often, it talks about Yored LeMerkava, going down. And part of the reason, and I'm not sure how much, well, in Roman times, if you owned a chariot, right, a chariot drawn by, you know, we're not talking about a horse and cart, right? We're talking about somebody who can afford a chariot, which is a Merkava. It's like it's not a box on wheels, but a sort of like a children's buggy moving backwards, right? Drawn by one or two horses. In order to, if you were rich enough to own such an equipage, and with a horse and a stable and a groom and a, you know, driver and so on, I mean, it takes three or four people just to keep this thing in shape. So your house would be built in such a way that you walk down the steps into the chariot. You would be Yored LeMerkava. So you would come down your steps, and you wouldn't step onto the floor and then up into the chariot, right? Rather, you would walk down the steps, and the chariot would be right there, and you'd step into it, and it would draw away. So I think that's part of the reason why the metaphor is Yored LeMerkava. And also, of course, there's the idea that when we are moving towards the glory of God, we're actually moving inwards, you know. So that another way for saying inwards would be and downwards. All right, so this is the Psicha to Mishnah Yud Dalet, the preface to the 14th Mishnah in the 5th Perek. Sefer Me'a Shiloach, Mefarash HaPosik, in the book of the Me'a Shiloach, he explains the verse. It's written, Oru Makir Re'ehu B'Seiser, cursed is the one who smites his neighbor in secret. Makir Re'ehu B'Seiser, somebody who damages somebody else in private, in secret. So the Ishbitzer says that corresponds to the tribe of Dan. This teaches us that a person should never, ever pray that somebody else be punished. In your tefillah, when you're davening, it should never be about punishing people. Even if you see somebody doing something that you think is despicable. Nevertheless, lo yakehu b'seisa b'sisra shel olam. What does it mean in secret? What does it mean in private? It means b'sisra shel olam, in the hidden of the world. God is yoshev b'seisa elyon. God is the one who sits in the secret, right? It sits in the hidden place. So when we approach that hidden place, we mustn't pray for somebody else's punishment. And this corresponds to the tribe of Dan, because the tribe of Dan, their part of their genius was, they were, you know, on the surface, as we're going to see, they were very litigious, right? Dan, it's like, sue me, let's sort this out in court. I want to have my day in court. You want your day in court? Good. I'll see you in court. Yes, your lawyer will speak to my lawyer. That was done. Commission is by shall don nema, because it was about don that it says hanoshech ikve sus, who don is like a viper on the road. Yaakov says like a shfifon aliderech, like a snake on the road who bites the heel of the horse and brings down the rider backwards, right? Because the word dan means din, right? To judge. So let's see. Narrowly, seems to me what pshat, the meaning is. Sheshodish nishmas dan, that the source of the soul of the tribe of Dan, bolay mebchinazu, comes from that aspect of the divine, shetomid mishtoikik litmimus v'yashus alev, that always looks for perfection. Always looks for wholeness and straightness and no nonsense. Sheyeroi lamed b'mishpat neged kol mekatzrek b'tmimusay. The tribe of Dan were always, the way they lived their life is that at any time you want to take me to court, take me to court. I believe I'm doing the right thing. At any time, Dan says, you want to judge me? Judge me. You can't judge me anywhere near as much as I judge myself. I'm judging myself all the time. I'm ready at any time to be stripped and to have every action looked at and examined and judged. And you know, sometimes we're ready to be judged because we know that the things that we've done are private, you know. But Dan, the tribe of Dan, they're ready to be judged because they know that it doesn't matter what area of their life you look at. You can put the whole thing under a microscope. It's fine. The Gemara says, in Psochem, Ahud Omer Doini Dini, somebody who says, I'll take you to court. Well, you know, some people are very litigious, right? Oh, I'll sue you. You know, sue me. Oh, let's sue him. Everybody's sued. Let's sue everybody, right? There are people who are like that. So it's not a new thing, right? In the Gemara's time, there were also people who were doinu dinu. Come on, don't talk to me. Let's go to court and sort this out. Let's go to a magistrate. Let's go to a Beis Din and sort this out. Whatever, any problems? All right, listen, I've talked to you enough. Come on, let's go to court and have a die and decide, right? Doinu dini. So the Gemara says, Shma binam midon kos. Anybody who's like that must come from the tribe of Dan. Because Dan was always ready to go to court. Tachsiv Don Yodin Amoy Ke'achad Shifti Yisrael. Don will judge his brothers, his nation, like one of the tribes of Israel. In Farash B'Sif Meshelech explains Shekol Tekufosam Uimachmas Shubutuach Shashem Yisborach Yazroi, because the tribe of Don, where did they get this confidence? They got this confidence because they felt that God was on their side, that God would make things, you know, very often the way the advocate expresses our plea, you know, that's, it's very influential, right? somebody can be right, but his advocate like stumbles and makes it say, you know, it's like he can lose the case, right? Done. He knows that God's my advocate. What do I have to worry about if God is my advocate, right? Because that was done. That was he says nothing to worry about. I'm not hiding anything. Like the Ishbitzer says, we can see from the way the Gemara phrases that Danite, the person from the tribe of San, who says Doin Dini, you know, judge my judgment. Because he just had this confidence. I'm going to win the court case. Because when you're dealing with this world, even the good things you do, even the Shabbos you keep, or the Torah that you learn, or the kosher food that you eat, afterwards, you don't know. Did you do it right? Hey, was it really kosher? Was that the way that the Torah was? Did you run it the right way? So, and he says, even if you give tzedakah, you know, so it's not Adam Shalos in tzedakah la'oni yelech b'koyach hazev yaseh mitzvah. So if you give tzedakah to somebody, you give somebody something, and then he does something good with it, then you're helping somebody who does a mitzvah, right? But what happens if you give something, some food, you give somebody energy, right? And they take this energy and they hurt somebody with it. Hurt themselves with it. Right? So then you, the giver, you become complicit. An accessory before the fact. Right? But in the tribe of Dan, Nimtzi Tekuf is good. They have this tremendous confidence, Shebatuch Bashem, that he knows 100% that God won't do that to him. Ma'ach she'osa mitzvah, if I did the mitzvah with the best of my intentions, Lama yazmina Hashem yizbruch mirshu b'zeh? Why would God bring it around that somebody will take this mitzvah I do and take the tzedakah that I'm giving and use it for a bad thing so that my tzedakah ends up being not as... Why would God do so? I don't believe God would do such a thing. I know he wouldn't do such a thing. Betach sheyazmin Hashem yizbruch anikosh. If I've got some tzedakah to give, says the Danite, I know God's going to bring me whoever that poor person that I come, that I meet, that I give that money, he's going to be the right one. And he's going to take this energy that I give him, and he's going to do another mitzvah. That's the Ishbitzer's reading of the confidence, the self-confidence that the tribe of Dan has. If a person gives tzedakah, gives charity with the right kavanah, and a person uses that energy for something that's not good, then, you know, if I give somebody $1,000 and then he goes and buys a gun and shoots somebody with it, then that person who gets shot is going to be angry at me. You just gave him money? You didn't think to yourself, maybe he's a fabrecha? Why did you just, you know, like, well, you thought you were doing a mitzvah? Very nice. You know, you were enabling a terrorist, right? And then, so sometimes we do good things, but you know the result is people get angry. And this is possible in many things that we do. You know, like in our married life, in our personal life, in our family life, in business life, there are things that we do with the best of intentions that don't turn out that way. And because the tribe of Dan are always so straightforward and so right, they have difficulty dealing with people who aren't, and people who are crooked, and people who bend, you know, and people who are a little too flexible. So it's possible that the tribe of Dan would then be judgmental. So the Torah warns him, cursed is the one who hits his neighbor in private, meaning b'sisru shel olam, that the tribe of Dan has to be very careful not to expect the way they live to be the way other people live. Okay, Mishnah 14, Himlich ois ayin, God enthroned the letter ayin beroiges over rage, v'kosha loy keser, and tied it a crown, v'tzorfon zebze, combined them with one another, v'tzorbehem gediba oilam, and fashioned Capricorn in the world, v'teves b'shona, the month of Teves in the year, v'koved in the liver, b'nefesh zochnekeve, in the body, in the nefesh of man and woman. Roiges, what is rage? Nerali shebichinas Rabbi Yeshiva v'asoifa, that this is the level of Rabbi Yeshiva v'asoifa, who was one of the martyrs. Hayichidi b'shas shoyegoyver Rabbi Kiva, he was the only one in the whole of the Talmud who is recorded winning arguments with Rabbi Kiva bedin when it came to halacha. K'mod Isa b'shas, we learn in the Gemara and Chulin, klal omer b'sheva b'shem Rabbi Yeshua, that they were having an argument, and he said, kol shenifsel b'shchitos nevela, anything that, if you're slaughtering an animal and you don't know that the slaughtering was done properly, then that animal is unclean. Kol shchitos kroi, but anything that was slaughtered properly, v'dova achagorem lapsul, and then you find some other reason why the animal is not permitted, treif, that's called treif. So there's a difference, because the nevela is tamei, if you touch it, then you have to go to mikveh, right? An animal that just died. Even if it's a kosher animal, you touch it, you have to go to mikveh before you go into the temple. But if you shechted it properly, then even if you found afterwards that it was dying, right, it was a treif animal, it had heart disease or whatever, then it is called treifer, and it's not metam, it's not tamei. So, v'hoidele Rabbi Kiva, the Mishnah says that Rabbi Kiva agreed to Rabbi Yeshiva Sofer that he had been wrong and Rabbi Yeshiva was correct. Also, we find in Gemara Kiddushin, Rabbi Yeshiva, Doma Boy, min Savach ala Kiva ben Yosef, there was a story that they came, the Tanaim, to Rabbi Yeshiva Sofer, and he said, come on, let's go and vanquish Rabbi Kiva. Shehoye oy mekosha, ein loy biyoy mi Yisrael avlad mamze, because Rabbi Kiva was very stringent, and according to him, there were many children that were born of Jewish mothers that were mamzerim, and so they came with Rabbi Yeshiva v'asoifa, and they vanquished Rabbi Kiva. And it, you know, the halach is, if it has a Jewish mother, it's not a mamzer. Oid isa tanya namahocha mevazvez ali vazvez yosim mechomish. There's another Gemara in Ksubis where it says, if a person is giving tzedakah, they shouldn't give more than a fifth of their property. Right? Not to give more than 20% of what you own to tzedakah. Shem yitzdalach lebrius, in case you end up needing people. So rather than giving all your stuff away and then having to beg from people for what you need, so keep what, you know, so don't give more than a fifth of what you own. Masa be'echot shebikish levaz v'yosim mechomesh, the Gemara says, and there was a story that somebody tried to give more than a fifth to tzedakah, v'lohiniach loy chaverov, and his friends didn't let him do it. Umani, and who is this? Rabbi Yeshevov. V'amri lo Rabbi Yeshevov, v'lohiniach chaverov mani Rabbi Kiva. And there are some who say that it was Rabbi Yeshevov who was trying to give it to when it was Rabbi Kiva who didn't let him. Begam isa b'shar gilgulim, we learn in the book from the Tamid Ari, dealing with the transmigration of souls, v'hino esa gvuros, we talk about there are ten kinds of gevura. There are chamisha de abba v'chamisha de imma, five masculine and five feminine. Heim b'chinas asura eruge malchus, and they correspond to the 10 martyrs who were killed by the Romans. Asher nishmisem nisnapshu be'elo atipois, that were, their souls were clothed in the, we talked about the 10 drops of semen that Joseph spilled at the story of Potipharva. Hachamisha gevuras da abba, and the five masculine gevuras, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Sheva, Sofer, Rabbi Shmuel ben Alisha Kohen Godol, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bova. V'nera li, afiani asdatin, there in the Kisvei Ari, it says, Kisidram kach chom mamash, and this is their order. Ki Rabbi Akiva hu chesed shebigvura. So Rabbi Akiva is the loving kindness of the gevura. Rishimi Gamliel gevura shebigvura. And Rishimi Gamliel is the left side, is the gevura shebigvura. So if so, Nitzav Rabbi Yeshevav hu tiferes shebigvura. Then Rabbi Yeshevav asoifa is the tiferes of gevura. And we were saying that the middle column is the machria, and therefore the machria has the ability to overpower the right and the left. If you think of chesed and gevura as two sides, two pans of the scale, then the tiferes in the middle has the ability to overpower them, and that's why Rabbi Yeshevav, who represents the tiferes of the gevura, the middle column, he's the one who is able to overpower Rabbi Akiva. So let's go to the next Mishnah. Psicha leMishnah Tezvav, this is the preface to Mishnah 15. B'sefer Me'a Shiloich Mefarash HaPosuk, in the Me'a Shiloich he explains the verse, Ksiv, it is written, Orur Shoichev Im Achoisoi, cursed is he who sleeps with his sister. Hu Neged Osher, this corresponds to the tribe of Osher. Ki LeOsher Hoya Achov Espashtus, because Osher had tremendous wealth, and an abundance and an overabundance. Can mention his Baba Chelik Rishon, as is explained in the first volume of the Me'er Shiloyach. Mish yesh le kol ha-toivos b'harchova, and anybody who has abundance and overabundance and just an unlimited supply of everything, yochel litoy she'en tzorich la'avodah, may make the mistake of thinking that he doesn't have to work, doesn't have to work at his worship, doesn't have to work hard to get wherever it is he wants to go, because everything is so easy. Rak havos l'Hashem yisburach b'havos ha-shoyrish k'havos av-och v'achois. So then you get into a habit of relating to God with an ease and a familiarity and a kind of an easy love, a love that the Greeks called agape, you know, and it's a very different love from Eros, right? And what's the ultimate example of agape? It's a love for a brother and a sister to have for each other. It's completely, doesn't have any of those tensions, sexual tensions. So that is the metaphor. Like the Ishbit says, Commission is Baal posting the Ish ki kach sachoisi chesed he in Leviticus it says a man who marries his sister, that is forbidden, because it's a chesed. So the word chesed there is turned upside down to mean, you know, not a loving kindness. It's called a chesed, but it's considered like the ultimate abomination, right? So therefore, corresponding to the tribe of Osher, it says, cursed is he who sleeps with his sister. Venerali biuroi, it seems to me, to explain what the Me'er Shiloyach has just said, Shishorish Nishmas Osher, the source of the soul of Osher, Bola Mibchinazu, comes to him from this aspect of the divine, Shetomid Mishtoikik Laham Shocha Sa'or, that always is constantly longing to draw down the light, Vahashefa, and the abundance, Vahadvekus, and the connection, Boyiz Barach, with God. Lizkarav Elov B'shoisho Elin, the source of the soul of the tribe of Osher is just all the time has no other desire but to cleave to God. Kemudat Oma, Mi Yitenchu Ka'ochni, Yoynik Shteyim Yem Tzuachu Bachutz, Eshokcha Gam Lo Yevuzu Li. In the Shir Ashirim, the soul says, you know, to God, if only were like my brother, you know, if I kiss my brother on the street, nobody gets bent out of shape, right? If I kiss my beloved on the street, everybody is looking at me. So if only you were my mitenchu ka'ochli, yoinik shteim, if you had nursed at the same breast as I nursed, then people wouldn't look at us askance when we, you know, walk hand in hand on the street. Even if I kissed you, they lo yavuzul, and I could take you, aveyachu beisimi, I could bring you into my mother's house. Kmo shepir shamalvim, and as the Malbim explains, that posuk in Shir Hashirim, halavai shetiskai metzli shtei b'chinas halolu, if only these two conditions could be met. One, she'uchel letzeis mimesurei haguf, that I was able to escape the chains of my body, lihidobek b'boiri, to connect with my Creator, b'chal eis, at any time, shetir li galus samoichim, whenever my, you know, I have that broadness of mind, right? Starch lafshot asaguf, I don't have to like leave my body in order to cleave to God. And I don't have to like go into some kind of a trance and near death experience to go into prophecy, which is, you know, I mean, the prophets, except for Moshe, the prophets like almost died when they had their prophecy there, because the soul had to leave their body. So that's what she's saying. Halavai, if only it didn't have to be that way. I would be so close with God. I could be like Moshe, who could just go into a state of prophecy in his body without even trembling. And the second condition is she'ayah b'madrege kazu, that I would be at such a level of prophecy that I would actually have some kind of a grasp of who God is, and God would teach me how to worship Him and to connect with Him while I'm still in my body, and God would take pleasure from me from my thinking about Him. This is how the Malbim explains this particular pasuk in Shir HaShirim, and this is how Osher, with the gifts that he had, he's being warned, mishum shiyochel lovay ledei atoivus lisrashus, because he could come, because he things were so easy for him, and he was so gifted that he could go lazy. Lefikach hizira akosev, so the Torah warns him, or sheichiv machoisoy, cursed is he who lies with his sister. Mishnah Yudhei, himlich ois tzadi, he enthroned the letter tzadi, bele'ita, in swallowing. V'kosha lo'ikesa, entitled the crown, v'tzorfam zebezeh, and combined them one with another, v'tzorbehem dli ba'olam, and fashioned Aquarius in the world, v'shevet b'shvat b'shono, in the month of Shvat, in the year, v'kurkavon, in the intestine, b'nefesh z'chonikeve, in the nefesh of male and female. Le'ita corresponds, le'ita actually, we translate it usually as swallowing, but it's not really swallowing, it's gulping. You know, we find the word with Esav says to Yaakov, haliteni no mino odoy ma'odam azeh, give me, you know, he finds him preparing this mess of pottage, and he says, I'm going to die unless you give me something to eat. And he says, haliteni, which means put it into my throat, it doesn't have to go through my mouth, you know, put it right into my gullet. That's le'ita, when you gulp something down in your gullet, not like normal swallowing. Normal swallowing is called blia. Swallowing at the kind, you know, where you're gulping, that's called le'ita. Venera li, note 37, shu b'chinas Rabbi Tarfon. This corresponds to Rabbi Tarfon, one of the martyrs killed by the Romans, as we learn in the 16th century writings of Rabbi Vadia of Pano. He says like this, V'daki ki tarfon ubi gematria Moshe. Tarfon is the same gematria as Moshe. V'dargin de shloime nukvin legabe dargin de Moshe. And you know, Shloime and Moshe were very similar in certain respects, but Shloime was feminine compared to Moshe's masculinity. But both of them reached very, very high levels of Chochmah. As we say, Shloime was more wise than anybody in the world, right? And we learn about Shloime that he married 1,000 women, and it says that Rabbi Tarfon was a Kohen, and there was a famine, and everybody knows that the wife of a Kohen is allowed to eat teruma, she's allowed to eat tithes, even if she's not born a Kohen, but as soon as she marries a Kohen, she's entitled to eat what he eats. Even his slaves are entitled to eat, which if we Yisraelim were to eat it, we would be punishable by death. But the Kohen, his wife, and his property and so on, they're allowed to eat this teruma, the tithes. So Rabbi Tarfon, he married 1,000 women so that at a time of famine they were able to eat at his table, so they could eat terumah. So Rabbi Tarfon's 1,000 women correspond to Shlomo HaMelech's 1,000 women, and they, Shlomo and Moshe, are like mirror images of each other. V'neresh shohoye Rabbi Tarfon b'chinas Where did Rabbi Tarfon get enough food to feed 1,000 women? So he represents this this aspect of the tribe of Osher that is blessed with abundance. Osher, Shmeina Lachmoy, it says Osher, his bread is fat. You know, Lachmoy, when the Torah talks about a person's bread, it's also talking about his wife. So that ties in with the 1,000 women that he betrothed in one day. Right, Mishnah 16. In the Meir Shiloyach explains the verse. It says, Oru loikeach shoychad, cursed is he who takes a bribe, lahakis dam nefesh noki, to smite the blood of an innocent person. Hu neged Naphtali. So this corresponds to the tribe of Naphtali. Shiksiv boy, it's written, Naphtali ayol shlucho. It says, Naphtali is a goodly hind. Vizehu azhoro, the Ishbitzer says, this warning, not to take bribes to hit someone. Hu shlo yimahu odam toiv lachaveri koidem azman. Very interesting. Of all the Meir Shiloyach's 12 interpretations of the different curses, this one contains elements that you don't expect and that are not really easy to understand. He says, "Shlo yimaher ha'odam toive lechaveroi koidem hazman," not to hurry a favor to your friend before its time. Giving your friend a favor, doing your friend a favor before it's the right time, is as good as punishing, hurting him. V'lo yispael mimash yutiv lechaveri. And if I ever am astonished at something good that happens to my neighbor, b'zeh yasu lo yiro, with my astonishment, I do something bad. You know, I see something, somebody wins on the lottery, and I say, psst, whoa, that is amazing, whoa. When I do that, I hurt that person. Why? The Ishbitzer doesn't really explain, but he calls that lekeach shoychad, taking a bribe. If I am astonished at something good that happens to somebody, I'm doing them a harm. Maybe it's because if I say, "Whoa, look at that person! I wonder how they were. What zechus they had to." What merit they had to win $50 million on the lottery, then I'm calling for a kind of judgment, right? I'm calling down a judgment on them that somewhere in heaven somebody has to now justify, because it's like calling a timeout, right? It's like calling, I want to see the books. It doesn't seem right to me that somebody should had just have won $100 million. And I say, wow, that's astonishing. Well, all right. So it means that somebody in this world is calling down, you know, asking to see the paperwork. I want to see how this is correct. When I do that to somebody, I'm really hurting them. If something happens good to somebody and I see it, I say, yeah, of course. It makes sense. It's perfect sense. Yes, of course. That's how I need to look at other people's good fortune, not to like wonder at it. Venera Lee, here we are on page 36, seems to me biuroi to explain it, Shoshorish Nishmas Naphtali, that the source of the soul of Naphtali Bole Mebechinazu comes from this aspect of the divine, Shetomid Mishtoikik Litzavsa, that always desires to connect, Lizagid Imsha'echov, and to be bound in a bund community with his friends, Beroivam Yachad, as one great nation, Shifti Yisrael, all the tribes of Israel. V'zeh ike b'chinas naftulei l'kim niftalti, when Leah gives birth, or rather when Zilpah gives birth to the Naphtali, she says, naftulei l'kim niftalti, I am bound up in a binding with God, or I am bound, I'm connected by God. So the word Naphtali is an expression of connection and binding. like the word tefillin and the word tefillah is the word naphtali. We learn in the Likutei Torah, and it says Livnei Reuven in the book of Numbers, when Moshe is taking a census of the Jewish people, it says Livnei Reuven. So he says like this: Lama b'chol ashvotim nema livnei u'b'shevet naftoli hu achron oma b'nei naftoli v'loi livnei. All the tribes, when it talks about how many there are, it says, and to the tribe of Reuven, and to the tribe of Shimon, and to the tribe of Levi. But when it talks about Naftoli, it says, and the sons of Naftoli. It doesn't say two. V'ho'inyim poshut. So the Ari says like this, Dai, you should know. K'shirotzu limnos ha'sisro, when they wanted to count the Jewish people, or yohochim v'sovim iskol ha'machane, they went round the whole camp, Machne Yisro, v'oimdim b'chol pesach u'pesach, and they stood at the doorway to every tent, v'koisvin oise b'pinkas, seda ha'shemois, and there was a recorder there, a secretary, who recorded the name of everybody in that tent, ploini ben ploini mishevet ploini, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, from the tribe of so-and-so, ploini ben ploini mishevet ploini, and so-and-so, from that other tribe. V'chein kiyotze b'zen, and this is how they went around the entire camp, at shegomru limnos kol habat, until they finished counting all the houses, shel Yisro. V'achar kach, then what did they do? Lokchu pinkas hazeh, they took this ledger, mu'urev im riboy anoshim, which was a conglomeration of hundreds of thousands of men. V'tzorech la'asiz chilek, ach, now you got to separate them, lahoitzi misefet kol shevet v'shevet, begili and levad, now you've got to separate each of the tribes into its own page, into its own part of the ledger. V'ozo yimaschilim b'pinkas harishon, so then they started with the first ledger, v'omru, ploini ben ploini tichtvois l'shevet ploini. This person, Moshe ben Yossel, write him into the ledger of the tribe of Reuven. And so they wrote him into the tribe of Reuven. And so everybody got transferred from this big ledger into the individual ledger of his own tribe. As they had been written into the first ledger, so then they went looking for everybody in this Pinkas who belonged to the tribe, the second tribe, and they wrote him into the second, or rather the third ledger, and so on. And so on. Now, let's do all the tribe of Shimon. And so they did for the 11 tribes. And so when they'd removed the names of the 11 tribes from that Pinkas, who remained? The last of the tribes, which was Naphtali. So they didn't need to remove him and write him into another ledger, because they'd removed all the names of everybody else who was not from one of from the tribe of Naphtali. And so the tribe of Naphtali had the distinction of only being written once, and they remained there in that ledger. So they didn't have to go libnei to the children of, it was just bnei Naphtali. Elu nishar kach v'kach misporam, this is how many there were, but it was the others that had to be transferred. That is the Torah of the Ari. So you could, it seems to me, Shikomus Khan Soid Godel, that the Ari didn't just think this up because, you know, of the word, the letter Lamed and so on. He's trying to tell us something very deep about the tribe of Naphtali. Shehoyanimna b'mekoymoi, Naphtali is counted in his place. Who was it who originally took the census? This was Moshe and Aaron, and the prince of each tribe. They went round the camp and they made a note of every person, right? It was Moshe and Aaron and the Nosi of the tribe. v'loyhutzrichu lehe'otek, and they didn't require transferring from that ledger. V'nisharu shom b'mekoymes b'mepinkas mekoyri, and they remained there in that original ledger. V'nisha etzlam b'toichem rishima shokol klal Yisrael. So they, the tribe of Naphtali, retained something that the other tribes didn't have, and that was that safsa. That was that combination being combined with all the other Yidden in one book. So the tribe of Naphtali retained something of the ability to be a brother to the other tribes, that the other tribes didn't have that genius. So this explains why the Meshiloch says that it was the tribe of Naphtali who were in danger of being astonished at good things that happened to themselves or to others. Because he was still written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Naphtali was like the first tablets that Moshe brought down from the mountain. In the first set of Ten Commandments, it doesn't say the word toiv. It doesn't say the word good. In the second, it does, but in the first, they didn't need it. They were bringing down the word of God. It didn't need to promise anything good. It was good. It was only the second set of commandments that Moshe brought down on Yom Kippur that they needed the word good in order to fix all the bad, all the rage. And so the idea of Toiva wasn't something that Naphtali needed, and so when Toiva came, he was astonished, or could be astonished. And with that astonishment, he could do harm. So the Torah warns him, "Or lekeach sheichet lakas dam nefesh." Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to hurt someone. Mishnah 16, Himlich ois kuf. God enthroned the letter kuf b'schoik in laughter. V'koshel keser tied it a crown with tzorfen zebezeh. Combined them one with another. V'tzabem dogim ba'olam, and he fashioned Pisces in Oilam v'Adar b'Shon, in the month of Adar, in the year v'Tchul, in the spleen b'Nefesh Zochan Nekeva, in the soul of Zochan Nekeva. So I want to say that the Schoik, laughter, refers to Reb Chutzpis HaMeturgim, and Reb Chutzpis the interpreter. K'di'isa b'seif HaLikutim, as we learn in the Likutim from the Ari, he says Naphtali nisgalgol b'Reb Chutzpis HaMeturgim, and Rabbi Naphtali, his Gilgal was Rabbi Chutzpis v'simonech hanoisein imrei shofer, because Naphtali is the one about who says he has beautiful words, he gives beautiful words, which we usually translate as good advice or advocacy, but Rabbi Chutzpis the meturgeman, Rabbi Chutzpis, he was the mad magician with words. Alright, Chevra, I think we'll stop here.